All right, the Spirit-filled husband. The Spirit-filled husband. Part 5, subtitle, A Glorious Church. I'm going to do what I did last week, I think. Lord willing. We're going to deal with, we dealt with last week, himself. That he might present her to himself. And then these words, a glorious church. A glorious church. He's coming back for a glorious church. And he isn't leaving it up to us to make ourselves glorious, but because we can't. Hello? He's going to present to himself a glorious church. Where does a glorious church come from? Comes from a glorious creator and bridegroom. That's where it comes from. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's the great, he's the great mover. Amen. He's the one who starts all things. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So before I can begin to deal with a glorious church, we must first deal with a glorious creator and savior, because that's who he is. So let's focus on the glory of the Lord. For he is the source of the glorious church. Everything about the Godhead is glorious. And I mean everything. Ah, yes. So, everything about him. The word glorious means to beautify, to adorn, to glorify, to gleam as an ornament. And I was thinking about this as I'm studying this passage of scripture. And thinking that the only way we can describe, we use words like an ornament to describe glory. Whereas for us, a ornament is something physical, you see. But God is immaterial. He's spiritual. But we have to use words to kind of describe what it is that's about his character and his nature, right? And so we use these words. Exodus 15, let's look at it. Exodus 15, after they were delivered through the Red Sea, this is what I believe Miriam said. Who is like you, Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness? Glorious in holiness. God is beautifully adorned. Amen. He's glorious, but the word says, glorious in holiness. Holiness means to be set apart. Amen? Amen. In other words, when the Bible says that there is none holy like the Lord, that means that there is no, just think about it for a second. How many humans we got on this planet? They say about 8 billion humans on this planet. And if we go out these doors and we look long enough, we can find a lookalike for every one of us in here. Amen. They can find a lookalike, but you'll never find a lookalike. There's only one. Listen, there are all these animals, chairs. We got more. You got chairs. He got keyboard. We got multiples of everything. One God. One God. Justin and I went to, we were test driving some cars. Well, Justin was test driving a car yesterday. You know, I don't test drive anything anymore. And the guy was in the back, and he was talking, and I forget how I said it. Anyhow, we said something about it. I said, yeah, our church is right around the corner. He led off into, he says, yeah. He says, you know, I was sitting there listening, but just talking. He says, yeah, you know, they say about God. You know, there's all these religions, but isn't there only one God? And y'all all worshiping the same one. I said, no. I said, let me tell you what's true. There's one God. One. And that's where I left it. I didn't feel the Holy Ghost unction to take it farther, because we'd have never got done test driving that car. I'm trying to tell you right now. We'd have never got done. But I said, yes, sir, there's only one God. Yeah. And so he's glorious in holiness, in his separateness. There's no one else like him, right? And that all by itself adorns him. It's not often that you're sitting in a room full of people and somebody walks in that's totally different from everybody else. But when that does happen, you get a kind of an idea of what it means. Everyone goes, whew. They're looking at, you know. And why? Because they're different. Well, God, he's glorious in his holiness. Deuteronomy 28:58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name. Fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. The Lord your God. What was true, what is true about his holiness is true about his name. What is it? Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name, only one name. That glorious name is the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is above every other name. And in no other name is there salvation. So this glorious name, the Lord your God, which the Lord, progressive revelations as the Lord would unfold himself to the children of Israel, finally coming in his son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 111 verse 3, his work is honorable and glorious. His work is honorable and glorious. Everything the Lord does is glorious. Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament or the sky shows forth his handiwork. I like to say it this way. Everything God makes, his fingerprints are all over it. Hey, if you look good, you can find it. Evidence that he's there. Yeah, he did it. He did it. Huh? Yes, indeed. Because all of his work is glorious. There's still, I said last week, the Webb Space Telescope is upending astrophysics because they're seeing things. They say, that doesn't make sense. That galaxy shouldn't be there at the dawn of the universe. I said, well, yeah, but that's because you're not God. I said, it shouldn't be that way. No. You shouldn't be thinking the wrong way. That's the problem. Is that you've taken God out of the equation. So the only way it can work is according to your equations. No, God is great. God, his work is glorious. Amen. Everything he does is glorious. Psalm 145 and 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. The glorious majesty of his kingdom. Boy, when you see his majesty, when you see his kingdom, you are beholding his majesty. And I'll tell you, it will make you, yeah. Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel boasted all about, he's the top, he's the America of his day. He's the ruling power of his day. Boasting in all of these things. And the prophet prophesied to him, said, hey, king, change your ways because God could do this to you. But a year later, he hadn't repented. He's walking through his house and says, oh, look at this great Babylon which I have built. And it says, and while he was speaking, the words came. It says, you've been turned over now. You're going to eat grass like an ox. You're going to grow feathers like an eagle. And your claws are going to grow like bears. And seven times are going to pass over you until you know that heaven rules in the kingdom of men. Heaven rules. Mm-hmm. And so God humbled him to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. After Nebuchadnezzar came out of that stupor, he praised God. He was doing what was going on. He said, hey, he's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Yes, indeed. At least Nebuchadnezzar got to say that. Herod in Acts chapter 12 didn't get to utter a word. An angel smote him and he was eaten up by worms because he did not glorify the one and true God. And every time I look around the leaders of these nations and I say, God, you are merciful. Woo, you are merciful, God. Because when you understand the glorious nature of God, it makes you, it sobers you, it puts the fear of God in you that you would deem or try to glory in his presence. The Bible says God will share his glory with no one. Nobody. He told Gideon, you got 32,000, too many people, lest when I deliver you, you say, my hand did it. God says, no, go down, 300. Yeah, that's good. That's God. I'm going to deliver you with 300. And sometimes we wonder, why, God, why aren't you moving fast enough? I need you to move now. God says, no. Read the Old Testament. I told Gideon I wasn't going to do it with that many. I'm not going to do it that many with you. God, you wouldn't do that. Last time I checked, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3 and 6 says, I am the Lord God, I change not. Hey. Well, God, it's not going the way I'm wanting it to go. Hang on. Isaiah 30:30. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard. My God, I read this and it shook me to my core. Because people are on Twitter and every other social media thing trying to hear somebody say something. But God ain't on Twitter. He doesn't have an account. But he is speaking. Ah, yes. And when you hear his voice, whew, my God, one word from God, man, it'll fix everything. It'll fix the situation in your life and in my life. That word glorious here is different from the another word that is used to and that's translated glorious. This word means grandeur, an imposing form and appearance, as if the voice of God appearing, amen, being heard, and show the descent of his arm with the indignation of his anger, the flame of a devouring fire with a scattering tempest and hailstones. So God, when he speaks, is glorious. I often told you the story of when my mother and I were only one living at the house. Excuse me, and I had the heating system worked on. And before I went to the gym, I was going to the gym to work out. I said, let me go check on the system. Went downstairs and fire shooting up out of coming out of an oil-burning furnace, shooting out of this big old pipe. And fire's not supposed to be shooting out of that pipe. I went upstairs, said, Mama, get out the house. House is on fire. And I proceeded to go out the front door. Mama was still in the house getting her birds and getting her animals. And I'm like, I come back. I said, Mama, you didn't hear me. I said, Mama, the house is on fire. We got to get out of here. Mama like, yeah, well, I'm going to get my stuff. Well, we made it out. We made it out and we're standing under the dogwood trees. And I'll never forget the word of the Lord. Psalm 46:1 came to me right up underneath the dogwood trees. It says this. The Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. That psalm came into my spirit because we were waiting for the house to go kaboom. You know how flesh is. We were thinking the worst. We're waiting for the house to go boom. And when that scripture hit me, I said, Mama, it's all right. We're good now. I said, Lord, I said, I believe I heard from the Lord. I said, Psalm 46:1 coming to me. I believe we're going to be all right. Fire department came. They went inside, looked, and they put the fire out and everything. They said, yeah, you're okay. Just have them come back and fix whatever was causing that fire. But that peace came because of the glorious voice of the Lord. How many of you have heard his voice in your lifetime? You've been going through a struggle. Come on, you've been going through, look, and you look and you don't even know what's going to happen. And the Lord comes and he speaks. And his voice, like when he spoke to the winds and the rain, he calms the storm that's raging in your own heart and in your own emotions. His glorious voice does that. We're not even halfway. We're not even a quarter way through this message yet. Thank you. I'm just trying to get this thing warmed up here. Now, because we have to look at how glorious God is. And yeah, he's glorious on the pages of scripture, but he's also glorious in your life and my life every day. Every day. Come on now. Isaiah 63:12, who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, his glorious voice, his glorious name, his glorious arm, his glorious holiness. And I didn't exhaust all of the scriptures. I couldn't, because this would be a multi-sermon message. And so I said, no, I have to stop somewhere. But here, he led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm. That arm is like no other arm. And it still delivers and heals and sets free today. Amen? He does it today. Yeah, I could go on and on. Let me not share too many stories here because I'll never get through with this. Did I have Luke up there? No, I didn't. Luke 13 and 17 reads, "And when he said these things," this is the account of when Christ had healed the woman who had an issue of blood, or not the woman, the woman who was bowed over for 18 years, and he healed her on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees were all up in their feelings and their emotions about it. And he said these things. When he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him, by Christ. Okay, so what went wrong? God is a glorious God. What went wrong? This went wrong. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, where we're going, we started with Christ presenting unto himself a glorious church. So we started with the Lord who is glorious in all things. But what happened when we get to us? Here's where we are. Come on now. Yeah, we're short. All have sinned. This is out of Romans 3 and 23. Paul is talking about both Jew and Gentile have fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. And what did God create us for? He created us for his glory. But we have all fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, human flesh, the offspring of men, have sought his own glory. Sought his own glory. Satan tried to get Jesus to do it in the garden. He said, "Hey, if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you all these kingdoms and the glory of them. I'll give them all to you. If you just bow down and worship me." It worked on Adam and Eve. It worked on the first Adam, but the second Adam said, "No, you forgot something. I own everything. I own you too. So we ain't bowing down to nothing." You understand? Back it up. That's not happening. No. So humanity has not and does not seek, nor can it attain the glory of God. Why is this? Why? Well, Romans 1 tells us this, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Although they knew God. Now, we could say, "Oh, look at that generation. They knew God and didn't glorify him as God." Hold on. We could say this today. Although we know God, although this current generation knows God. You say, how do we know God? We have more ability, more knowledge. We're in the information age. You can go on Google and you can go on Google and visit Pluto if you want to. You can, what? Where you want to go? What you want to study? It's all out there. God done laid it all out and man has searched it out. We have all this knowledge and yet we still do not glorify him as God. I love nature videos. I love, I was watching a video the other day about a caterpillar. You know, caterpillars are herbivores. Well, this little caterpillar mimicked the call of a queen bee and a queen ant. And they took this little caterpillar up into the nest. Wow. And this little caterpillar switched from being an herbivore and started eating up all the larvae. And I'm watching this and I'm going, wait a second. Oh, that is powerful. And it gets so big, then it turns into a butterfly and it flies away. And I was thinking, my God, that is, who knew? Who knew? Well, when you see things like that, you know what the people who do the studies, they say, nature and evolution, there's nothing like it. Evolution has caused this caterpillar to go from a herbivore to a carnivore so that it can, you know, survival of the fittest. I'm like, yo, no, no, it doesn't work like that. No, it's not nature and it's not evolution. There's a God in heaven who created that caterpillar like that so that you could see his glory. So you could see his glory. But what do? We're not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. You wonder why a guy in Texas, when people asked him, "Could you stop shooting that gun so that my baby can sleep?" And he goes and takes the gun and shoots five of his neighbors dead. This is why. Because our foolish hearts are darkened. And we don't care to glorify God. All we care about is glorifying this right here. That's why that guy took that gun. Oh, and by the way, a host of demons too, by the way. So professing to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And we eat it up. And the award shows come on. We're going down the red carpet. Look at me. I was telling my wife and daughter, you know, celebrity, that's crazy business right there. People stand there, look, they snap, snap, and they're taking all these pictures. But watch this. The moment one of them gets sick or have a divorce, please respect our privacy. Oh, look, while I'm flying high and looking great, hey, snap, 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 look at me. But as soon as I get sick, hey, be quiet. Don't tell nobody what's going on. No, you up in front. You up in front when everything's going your way. Stay up there. Stay up there. Come on. No, I tell you what, we live in a rough world. No, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals, creeping things. So man has rejected and changed the glory of God and as a result dwells in darkness. But glory be to God for revealing his splendor, his majesty, and his glory to his chosen people. And who were those people? In the Old Testament, it was Israel. Those were the people that he came to establish the fact that he was a glorious God. It happened in Exodus chapter 24. This is when they come out of Egypt. He said, I will meet with you on Sinai. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. So God brings his glory down to the people. Why? Because God wants to come near his people. Because we can't reach his glory. We can't attain it. He must come to us. We cannot go to him. Right? So God then leaves his glory, leaves the mountain, because what did he command Moses on the mountain? Build me a sanctuary. You shall make an ark, and on the top of it, you're going to have a mercy seat and two cherubim. He says, my glory, my Shekinah, is going to dwell right in that spot. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting. This is Exodus chapter 40, when they finished building everything, and they came out of the tabernacle. Then the glory of the Lord descended upon it in a cloud, and it filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, we just had tabernacle teaching, right? Beginning of the year. So we remember now that this tabernacle pointed to Christ when he came in John chapter 1, and then by extension us as the tabernacle where the glory cloud fills. Acts chapter 2, we see a New Testament counterpart to God filling this tabernacle where he came and descended upon the church and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, so God instructed the tabernacle to be built and the glory of the Lord rested in that spot. In Exodus 33, Moses, you remember, after the people had sinned against God, Moses implored God. He said, please show me your glory. Moses wanted to see more of the glory of God. Because remember, the glory of God followed them for 40 years by day in a pillar of fire. I mean, by night in a pillar of fire, but by day in a pillar of cloud, right? The glory of the Lord followed them. Now, so God brought his glory down to his people. But when the people of God sinned repeatedly against the Lord, the glory of God departed from Israel temporally. So you'll remember in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 2, 3, and here in 4, Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, that he respected more than God. And God said, because you honor your sons more than me, he says, I'm going to cause an enemy to come into the house of the Lord. He says, both of your sons are going to die on one day. I'm going to judge your house, Eli, because you wouldn't, God was, his glorious voice was speaking to Eli, but Eli didn't want to hear it. And so here we see, who's this? Either Hophni or Phinehas' wife, I believe he's the wife of Phinehas. She's giving birth when she finds out that the ark of God has been lost in battle to the Philistines. And she named the child Ichabod. And Ichabod means the glory has departed. The glory has departed. So what do we see? We see that even though God brought his glory to his chosen people, it couldn't remain. Why? Well, from Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God because they kept sinning. They kept sinning. And God and the priests were sinning, Eli and his sons. And finally, God caused the ark of his presence to be taken. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. And so what do we learn here but that the glory of God cannot remain among sinful men? We see it again in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 18, the glory of the Lord departing from the temple. It did come back in Ezekiel 43. So either the glory leaves or the heart of man must change. But this is impossible with man. But Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Aren't you glad? Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. There is only one time when the glory of God rested upon a man and never departed. Only one time. All right. John chapter 1. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and all things without him was not anything made that is made. Thank you. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And watch this, though. And we beheld his glory. So the glory that could not remain in the Old Testament because of the sins of the people comes in the Son of God and remains the glory of God. And the people were beholding his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. This is the one who's going to present to himself a glorious church. But we must look at him first and foremost and deeply and intently before we look at us. Because when you go to look at us, well, you can get depressed. Now, I'm telling you, you can get discouraged. You can get disappointed. And I'm not talking about me looking out there. I'm talking about me looking in the mirror. Hey, good heavens, Jesus, help me. It's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So Jesus comes and we behold his glory. On Mount Sinai, the children of Israel heard words, but they saw no shape. But here the Word became flesh and lived among them in great splendor and in great majesty. Goes on. And John chapter 2 and verse 11, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. What sign? When he turned the water into wine. That sign, the Bible says that when Jesus did that sign, he manifested his glory. He showed them who he was. Jesus was showing, was manifesting, was adorning himself and showing them that I am God, because who can turn water into wine? And not just wine, the best wine. Who can do that? Come on now. Napa Valley can't do it. It's going to take them quite a while. No. So, everything Jesus did, he did for the glory of his Father. Everything he did for the glory of his Father. Listen, when God, now when he talks about Christ is coming back for a glorious church, remember this, when God glorifies us, it is always for the purpose of glorifying himself. Always. So always. Some people say, God's an egotistical maniac. Why does he want so much glory? Well, let me ask you a question. What have you made? What have you created? And what have you sustained? Huh? What? Well, I made. No, you didn't. God made that. You just took the materials and did something. God made everything. everything that exists. He not only did he make it, he sustains everything. Not only does he sustain everything, he's redeeming everything. He's reconciling everything to himself. He's going to create a, make all things new, create a new heaven and a new earth. He's already created a new man and woman in us. Amen. The new man he's created in Christ Jesus. He's going to make all things new. That's why he deserves all the glory and all the praise. And that's why we deserve nothing. Hello. Nothing. Oh, my. So look at John chapter 17. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you. Let me put it this way. Glorify Kweku so that Kweku may glorify you. Glorify Felicia so that Felicia may glorify you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That when he's calling for a glorious church, that church is to glorify and magnify him. Amen? Look at Matthew. What did Matthew say? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do who? Glorify you? No. No. Glorify your Father. In all that God has created for us, all that God has called us to, it is to glorify his great name. Why? Because there's no salvation in the name of Patrick. There is no salvation in the name of Timmy. There's no salvation in the name of Carl, but there's salvation in his name. Huh? They glorify your Father who is in heaven. People, I'm hearing Christians talking about this world is getting so crazy. I want to get out. But man, the world getting darker. This is the time you're supposed to shine. Come on. Shine. Shine for the Lord. But they might persecute me. So what? They persecuted Jesus. Jesus said if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And then he said this, if any man wants to seek to save his life, he's going to lose it. And he's talking to his disciples. So go try and save your life. See what happened. My. God help us. God help us. So it's about we are glorifying the one who is glorious and who deserves all the glory and all the praise. John chapter 11, listen at Jesus. This is the resurrection of Lazarus. When Jesus heard that, heard what? That Lazarus was sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now remember what a couple of verses before, Jesus said, glorify me that I might glorify you. So when Jesus says, this is for the glory of God. He's speaking of the Father. This is for the glory of my Father that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Because when he raises Lazarus from the dead, people are going to know man does not have that power. Only God has that power. And so the Son of God is pointing to the Father. And so the people would see the glory of the Father. Jesus was always about glorifying his Father. Always. All bar none. Everything he did, everything he said was to glorify his Father. And sometimes we wonder why God doesn't move when we want him to. Huh? Was it Martha who said, Lord, if you had been here. Right. In other words, God, you late. Right. How many times we done thought that? Hey, look here, come on now. How many times we done said, but Lord, I've been praying. Lord, I've been praying. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost has been teaching me for a little bit here. He's been teaching me. He said, son, it's all mine. And everything that happens to you, it's mine. And if you will trust me, I'll bring you out of everything. I will take you through everything. Now, he did not say, I will deliver you from everything. Hardship and suffering, the scripture's coming, don't make no mistake about it, because suffering is tied to glory, and glory is tied to suffering. But people say, but I don't want to suffer. Well, but your Savior suffered to save you. But you want to be free from suffering. Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Or maybe I'll tell you this. Hold on. Hold on. Because that's par for the course, beloved. Hello? Yeah, if you're in this life, you're going to suffer. But God help us to suffer for his sake and not for our foolishness. That's what the apostle taught. That if you suffer, suffer godly because of your godliness, not because you're out there, what they call it, wilding out these days. These people have these words, you know, acting the fool and the criminal, right? All right, now, yeah, I did put it up there. So God's desire, Christ's desire to show his glory to his disciples. Now, it came to pass after about 8 days after these things that he took Peter, John, and James, went up on a mountain to pray, and as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered. You're getting a picture here of glory. See, that's why I said when we talk about ornament, it doesn't. That's because that's all we know. But to do it justice, now Jesus, what's happening to him here is not an ornament. No, he's being glorified. He's revealing some of his glory. I say some. His face was altered. His robe became white and glistening. By the way, when I saw the two angels on Pharaoh's Mall, they had an aura of glory about them. It was as if they were walking 2 feet off the floor. They were, because they were dressed in all white, but there was like an aura of glory. You say, how do you describe that? I don't know. I'm just saying it looked like a light. It was just, but it was different from everything else around it, right? So here these disciples, they're seeing Jesus where they never seen Jesus before. His robe became white and glistening, and behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Make no mistake about it. Jesus' life was not taken from him. He gave it away. He accomplished this. He said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. They didn't take it from him. He gave it. He sacrificed himself, literally. He was the high priest who was slaying the lamb, who was himself. He gave himself on the cross. Even when he received the vinegar, the scripture says he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He gave up the ghost. It wasn't taken from him. He gave it. But Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory. That's why Jesus took them up on that mountain, because he wanted them to see his glory. Now, I've preached a message years ago about the glory of man. What's interesting about, see, God's glory is eternal, but as 1 Peter says that the glory of man is like the flower of the field. It's like the grass that fades and withers away. You have any doubt? Let me go get that picture of me when I was 20 years old. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened on Facebook. Man, I'll tell you what. Tori texted me yesterday. She texted us and said, Dad, people are going off on this picture you put up on Facebook. I was like, they are? She's like, yeah. And then she was laughing. She said, it's a picture of you with black hair. Okay. So I'm all tickled. So, you know, I just thought it was time to change my profile picture. But according to what Tori's telling me, the people think that that's a current picture. I don't care about no current picture. I just wanted to change. Let me put something up. So I had a picture from 2009. I just threw it up there. No, you don't understand. It affected people so much. Everybody remember Marlon Portier? You remember Marlon? Marlon messaged me in Facebook and said, hey, Pastor, you looking good in that picture, bro? I was like, well, Lord Jesus, what on earth? high school friend, people from everywhere know me way back 30 years ago. They say, hey, man, where you been, Pat, man? And they come and I was like, I was chuckling. I was like, Lord, help us, Father. Good. Woo. See, but you want to see the glory depart. Know that the glory of man is temporal. Just get a picture. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about me. You get a picture of me 20 years old. You look at that picture, and then you look at me today, and you say, yes, indeed, the glory has definitely departed. Now, listen, this will mess some people up, but read the book. Read the book. It's in there. Look, if that messes you up, well, you know, hey. Hey. That is the consequence of sin. It's a consequence of sin. But glory be to God, he has redeemed us from it. And in the next life, we're going to receive a new body that's not going to age. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm going to have hair, plenty of it, and black, I guess. You know, I don't know. I'll be looking like Kweku at some point, you know. But the glory of man is temporal. And the glory that he gives us, we're supposed to radiate back to him. We're supposed to glorify him with it. So when Paul said he's going to present to himself a glorious church, it is that first he himself is the glorious one. And that's where we must focus our attention. Let me look at John chapter 17, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, Jesus, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now, I don't know about you, but that scripture right there, oh God, it makes me so glad that he chose me to be his son, because I'm going to see that glory. In whatever capacity he allows me, I'm going to see that glory. And that scripture right there makes just about everything I go through in this life. Hey, I'm good. Come what may. I'm good. Because I'm like Abraham. The Bible says, who was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was promised the promised land. He never got it. He lived in it. He didn't own anything. He did buy a field to bury Sarah in. That was it. But then Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker. He was no longer looking for earthly habitation. He was looking for a heavenly one. Come on, and when what Jesus just said right there, my God, eternal glory uniquely belongs to the Godhead. You see this here? This glory, which is eternal, he says, which I had with you before the world was. My God. Then he says this. I've shared this before in a message like a month ago or so. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Now, let me tell you what our destiny is. That right there. Ah. And why do we worship the way we do? Because it is the will of Jesus. Second person, the Godhead, which means it's the will of the Father and the will of the Spirit for you and I to behold his glory. And you have to be an eternal being to behold his glory. Huh? Which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. I'm not going to get into that because we're going to get lost if we do. But what I want you to notice is that the will of God, which is our destiny, is to behold the glory of God and not our own glory. Not our own glory. Why is this? Well, it's because we have no glory of our own. That's why we don't spend an hour in the mirror every morning. Come on now. Well, you can spend an hour in the mirror if you're looking at the wrong thing. But if you're seeing through truly, you'd be like, no, that's enough. That's enough. Let's keep it moving, Jesus. We haven't caused anything to come into being, nor do we sustain anything, but he created and sustained all things. To him and to him alone belongs all the glory, which Romans 11:36 tells us, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory. Glory. All the glory belongs to God. And any glory that comes towards us, any glory that he gives us, it is that we might return it to him and give all the glory back to him. Why? Because he's created all things. All right. However, since he is glorious, it only stands to reason that his bride will be glorious. Why? The scripture says the two shall become one. That's speaking of earthly marriage. But 2 Corinthians 3:18, I believe it is, says this: he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, not one flesh, one spirit with him. That's why earthly temporal marriage as we know it in heaven's out the door. One spirit with him. We are then the bride of Christ. We are now, but they're fully realizing our one spirit with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. All right. So 1 John, and I'm almost done now. 1 John, we read this: beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed. So notice that the revelation of what we are to be is contingent and wholly resting upon the revelation of who he is. So we find ourselves in him. And what the Holy Ghost is trying me to understand, I'm talking to myself now, is that, son, you really need to understand that this is not all about you. This here is not about you. It's about him. It's about him. Huh? So John says, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. So the glorious church is like the glorious bridegroom, like the glorious Savior, like the glorious Creator. And he is the one that is making us like himself. Amen? So in order to be his children, we must be like him. Having been made like him, we too must be glorious. Remember that when Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus, they appeared in glory, as Jesus Christ was glorifying himself. All right. Romans 8:17, where it talks about that we have received the spirit of adoption. Amen. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father, that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I've heard many prosperity teachers. I ain't never heard them teach this one. Oh, they taught the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ part, but the second part B, that business about suffering? Oh, no, because if you got enough faith, you can believe God to get out of everything, every suffering situation. I got news for you. I don't know how many stories I could tell you about the people that a person passed away and the person kept the body back because they said, we're going to raise it from the dead. And they were trying to pray. Nothing happened. The authorities are saying, hey, we need to bury that body. They're like, no, God going to raise it. God didn't do anything. Huh? We got faith. Beloved, you need more than faith. You need more than faith. You need the will of God. Hello? All Christians have faith. You need the will of God, right? But notice how suffering is tied to glory. Indeed, suffering precedes glory. Philippians 2 said that Christ, being found in the likeness of a man, he humbled himself to the death of the cross. And then it says this: wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name, which is wherefore the glory came because he suffered and died. after. Yeah. Yeah. It was a result of. But we want to skate. We want to like, hey, no, I'm really not feeling that today. Well, guess what? It's not about how you feel it. It's not about that. Go back and read Lamentations when I was telling you about Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, he put a target on my back. He's like, he's causing me to be in the land of affliction. You say, does God do that? Well, of course he does it. He did it in the Old Testament. He did it in the New Testament. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat. But don't worry, Simon, I would never let you go through anything like that. Hey, Simon, this is how you're going to make it through. Not by your great faith, not by your great strength, not by any ability of your own. You're going to make it because I have prayed for you. I've gone before you. I have prayed for you. And I see your end. I see you coming out. And when you get done, strengthen your brethren. When you come out of that struggle, and not only Peter, but when you come out of your struggle, you strengthen somebody, you help somebody, you lift somebody up and cause them to know that God's going to bring you through. God is able to bring you through. Come on, that's the stuff. That's what brings the glory as a result of the suffering, is that we get to glorify God's name and declare that he's able to deliver in the midst of it all. All right, let me close this out. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I don't have time. I wanted to go into preceding this and after it. So preceding it, what happened? The old covenant, which Moses was the mediator, he came and gave the old covenant engraven on stones, right? The Bible says that covenant was glorious, but that covenant was also passing away. The glory was passing away. But it was so glorious that Moses had to put a veil on his face just to come out and talk to the people. It was so glorious. Now, that's passing away. But Paul says, but we now with unveiled face, we're beholding the glory of the Lord. We're beholding, they beheld Moses' face. We're beholding the glory of the Lord. And as we behold his glory as in a mirror before us, we are being transformed by the glory of the Lord, and that glory is causing our glory to change. Because upon glory, upon glory, upon glory, his glory is transforming you. His glory is transforming me. Amen? Just as by the Spirit of the Lord who indwells us. So make no mistake about it. God is ever since Christ rose from the dead, he's been doing this, Ephesians chapter 5. He's been saving and presenting to himself a glorious church. That's who he is. That's what he's doing. That's what he's been doing. And he will continue to do it that he might be glorified. I didn't put up there Philippians 3:21. Let me read it. Because not only are we being changed from glory to glory, but Paul said this: we await our Savior who will be revealed from heaven, who will transform our lowly body. That's right. I know we got athletes, they think they all buff. And what did I see? Olivia Dunn, this gymnast, she made Sports Illustrated magazine, and she said, I've been wanting to do this. And I'm like, I get it, baby girl, but you ain't, that's a lowly body. Hey, that's a lowly body. Come on. All you football players, basketball players, you're in a lowly body. Keep it straight. Weightlifters, bodybuilders, I used to be a bodybuilder. Lowly body. He will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. You want to know what a glorious body is? It never stops breathing. Think about that. I doubt it needs rest. It can walk through walls. I wonder what the new heaven and the new earth going to be like. Because Lord knows I've been wanting to go to Jupiter. I've been wanting to walk around the rings of Saturn. Woo, glory to God. Hey, I've been wanting to dip down into the gas giants of Neptune and Uranus. I've been wanting to go light years away and see this beautiful cosmos that God has made. But you can't do it in this. Hello? We trying to get to Mars and about gonna have to kill ourselves doing that. No. He's given us a body that will be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Jesus. Are you getting it that we don't, how can God be so good? How can he is so good and yet he's just and he's loving and he's kind and he delivered a people who deserved no deliverance? He delivered. His mercies are great and overwhelming. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And then I close with Revelation 21. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me saying, come, I will show you the bride. That's the bride of Ephesians chapter 5, the glorious church. He carried away in the spirit to a great and high mountain to see the Lamb's wife. And he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And here's the last word, having the glory of who? Of God. The glorious church is glorious not because glory is inherent in itself, but we are being clothed, literally, we are being clothed with the glory of God. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Jesus, we magnify you. Father, we worship you. Lord, we bless you. We say there is no one like you, O God. Your word is true, O my Lord. You fill the heavens of the heaven. The heavens cannot contain you, O my God. Lord, our minds, O God, cannot fathom the depths of your loving kindness. Your greatness is unsearchable. My Lord, your wisdom is unknowable. No one can plumb the depths of who you are. And yet, Lord, you humbled yourself. Sacrificed your life, gave yourself, Lord, left glory, O God, and came, O God, to redeem a people, Lord, who were nothing but ashes and dust. And Lord, you've raised dust up and crowned it with glory and honor that we might live in your presence forever and ever. And Father, we stand in awe of you. Father, we stand overwhelmed. And oh God, may our lives, may what we think, say, and do bring glory to your great name. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And thus, all glory belongs to you. For of you and to you and through you are all things. To whom belongs glory both now and forevermore. Lord, we bless you and pray your word has its way in our lives. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen.